Why is seminary so expensive? At Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, we are committed to the reform of theological education toward meeting the needs of churches across the globe. Men of God cannot serve their churches well if they are burdened with tens of thousands of dollars in student loans from seminary. At CBTS, you can receive a robust theological education for nearly four times less than other institutions. To find out more about how you can receive an accredited theological degree at a cost that you can afford, visit cbtseminary.org.
You are listening to Particular Pilgrims, Stories from Reformed Baptist History with Commentary. I'm your host, Ron Miller, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church of Clarksville, Tennessee, and a longtime student and collector of Particular Baptist History. We are on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. In episode 35, I told the story of William Terrell, an elder in the Broadmead Church of Bristol. One of his great contributions to the Particular Baptist churches was a bequest he left. His will included a sizable gift to Broadmead for the purpose of paying the living of, quote, a holy and learned man, well skilled in the tongues, to wit, Greek and Hebrew, and should profess and practice the truth of believers' baptism as a pastor or teacher to the congregation. This bequest was later set up as a trust and was intended to go on perpetually as a help to paying the church's pastor and to enable that pastor to train men for the ministry. It couldn't be implemented immediately for various legal, political, and practical reasons. Then, when Broadmead was able to first attempt this, their efforts failed. But stability and success were finally achieved with the coming of a man named Bernard Foskett. Now, a note about pronouncing his name. First, it is spelled B-E-R-N-A-R-D, we would say in the States, Bernard or Bernard. And his last name is Foskett, F-O-S-K-E-T-T. Now, in this country, we say the name Bernard as it is spelled. In other words, we say all the letters. But in England, it is pronounced as if spelled Bernard. So, although I am in the U.S., I'll try to pronounce his name as it would have most likely been spoken in his own day. I want to tell you the story of this unsung hero, Bernard Foskett, in several parts. Today, I'll give you his biography, and then in further episodes, I'll go into more depth regarding a few of his important accomplishments. Bernard Foskett was born on March 10, 1685, in North Crawley. That's a small town about 50 miles north-northwest of London. His father, William, was a local magistrate, which tells us Bernard grew up well off and Anglican. He was schooled privately at home and excelled at his studies. So he was sent to London to train as a doctor. One of his successors at Broadmead, Bristol, reported that the young Mr. Foskett, quote, qualified and eventually practiced medicine for a number of years. But his time in London was to have greater consequences than merely preparing him for a useful profession. At some point there, he was converted. We know nothing of the circumstances, but we do know some of the results. He began to attend the Little Wild Street Baptist meeting. The pastor there was John Pigott, who had been a schoolmaster. He was known for his learning as well as his pastoral gifts. He began his Baptist ministry with Arminian leanings, but through friendships with Joseph Stennett and William Collins, became a convinced Calvinist. This led to a division in the church, with the majority following Pastor Pigott to a new location, the earlier mentioned Little Wild Street. It was at this church, and under this Calvinistic pastor, that Bernard was baptized on October 7, 1708. He was 23, well-educated, and established in his work when he joined the membership. But he was also active in the church, as his signature is found in the church books from that time period. Shortly after, at the church's allowance, he began to preach. And just a few years later, on April 29, 1711, he was called to become a pastoral assistant to John Bedham in Henley-in-Arden, which is further north and west, away from London and toward Wales. We've met John Bedham before. He's the father of Benjamin Bedham, the pastor and hymn writer of our earlier studies. John Bedham had been a member of Benjamin Keach's congregation and was sent to help a Baptist pastor named John Willis, who oversaw several churches centered in Alcester but spread over a wide area. When Willis died, Bedham became pastor, but he needed help. There were 100 members widely dispersed and meeting at three or four locations. Having another pastor was key to properly shepherding them. When Foskett arrived, he was 26 and single. He would never marry, but give his life to the church. In an aside that may interest you, two of his brothers are also known to have never married. Foskett's friendship with John Bedham was especially close and lasted their entire lives. In fact, for many years, Bernard Foskett lived in the Bedham home. He lodged there when Bedham married and when Benjamin, his first son, was born. Bedham's last son was even named Foskett after his dear friend. They shared the same perspectives on leading the church and immediately set about reorganizing the congregation with a confession of faith that was Trinitarian, Calvinistic, and Baptistic. A church covenant called its members to keep up communion with each other in numerous practical ways. Both men also believed in singing as an element of worship, so the praise of God was added to public worship in 1712. After 8 years of service, Foskett received an invitation to preach at Broadmead in Bristol. He ministered twice in 1719 and was asked to return and preach again for four Sundays in March and April of 1720. The church was obviously pleased because it issued what it called, quote, a pressing invitation. It was, in fact, actually pressed into his hand while on a visit to Bristol. This pressing invitation was for Foskett to assist their aged pastor, Peter Kitterell, and to come, quote, in pursuance of the design of Mr. Edward Terrell. Broadmead needed someone both to help their weakening minister and to do the work that Elder Terrell had funded. This opportunity seems to have truly troubled Foskett. He was a reserved and humble man who loved his people and dear friend and co-pastor John Bedham. To consider leaving for Bristol was not easy, so he asked Broadmead to reconsider. After prayerful consideration, they reaffirmed their call. Foskett was invited back for another 6 weeks of preaching, and after conferring with Bedham on October 7, 1720, Bernard Foskett accepted the church's call. A few years later, Peter Kitterell died, and Foskett succeeded him as pastor. He manned this post for over 30 years until his own death in 1758. But Foskett's disappointment with being separated from John Bedham was short-lived. When Bristol's Pathay Baptist Church lost their pastor to death, they called Bedham. And so both men were once again in the same city, ministering in Baptist churches. In fact, Foskett even moved back into Bedham's home. It is what one man has called, quote, a rare example of the ministers of two prominent churches in the same city living under the same roof. Well, next time we will look at Foskett's leadership in ministerial training and associational life, but I hope this short biography has illustrated the beauty of Christian friendship between pastors. This is a thing too rare and too valuable to ignore. Thank you for listening today. This is Ron the Baptist wishing you grace and peace.